What's up and welcome to another MoGraph MoCast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt. Joining us today, you may not know his name, but I guarantee you, you know his work. Joining us is Tom Coben.
Hello.
And MoGraph is a supplement to our site, MoGraph.com, which is a motion graphics tutorial site with tutorials, plugins, podcasts, and other MoGraph stuff. And on the show, we talk about everything ranging from motion graphics to Cinema 4D, After Effects plugins, render engines, doing business, doing taxes, being a contractor, or working for the man. You can email us info@mograph.com. Let us know what you think about the show. Questions, comments, concerns, grievances, queries, topic ideas, artist suggestions, and what have you. Like this one from Oliver King, who says, Hey, y'all. I was wondering, what's the right way to get rid of default lighting in Octane C4D? I always just put an empty HDRI object in there, but it feels wrong. Always put in a black color, but that's just me.
Dave does this, and this is something that a lot of people don't know, because this will actually mess with your lighting. Even if you have a black sky in there, you need to go into your settings, and you need to go into your environment, and you need to set that to black, and that will be 100% black. And you can save that as your default. I do that a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I want that as my default.
Because I have found like the default, like white or whatever, like, you know how you can just see everything as soon as you start Octane, like sometimes even when you're lighting with a black sky, it'll still show a little, it'll do the bounces a little bit differently. It's interesting.
The other thing he said is also, who is MoGraph Memes? Personally, my money's on Nose Man.
You think Nose Man? Really? I don't know. That's what he said.
That's not what I said.
That's what he said. Okay.
No, okay. I don't think it's Nose Man. I don't think Nose Man is into the memes like that.
I don't think he is either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My money would be on like Teddy Gage or Casey Hupke.
I could see Casey Hupke.
Yeah. Do you think it's somebody we know for real, or do you think it's...
I
have a feeling we know him.
What if it's more than one person?
Yeah, it could be multiple people.
Could be a whole bunch of people.
It could be a studio. Like,
could be a whole studio.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know about Nose Man.
Nah, I don't think Nose Man. Yeah.
Hmm. he's more likely to be a James Bond villain.
Nose Man. Yes, I could see that. Yeah.
Somebody asked him the other day. Like, I don't think he understood the question. Or maybe he just didn't hear it on Skype on the Maxon broadcast the other day. Somebody said, "Can you say I expect you to die, Mr. Bond?" and he said, "Bond, James Bond." Like, he didn't even. I don't think he understood like what they were asking. That they were implying that he looks like that one dude. I forget the guy's name. It's one of the Bond villains or whatever. There's this one actor that Nose Man looks like a lot like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fine. If somebody knows what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about, post it in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to find. We'll do a side by side photo comparison.
Add that to the show, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, MoGraph.com. Make sure that you mash that subscribe button and ding that bell and whatnot.
Ding
what the
bell.
Kids are doing these days while they're playing Fall Guys.
Fall Guys. It's good. It's a good show. It's a good game, you know?
I haven't played it yet.
It's pretty good. It's fun.
It is fun.
It's addicting because, you know, all the games are so short, you know? As soon as you... This is the one thing I also hate about, like, games like, whatchamacallit? What's the... Fortnite, you know? You die, it's over. Ben Kingsley.
Yep.
You die, it's over, and then you gotta wait to start a new game. You know, it's like that waiting
time.
For it to repopulate and stuff like that. It's like that's boring.
Yeah.
Like, at least give me like a mini game or something while I'm waiting. You know what I'm saying? That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Nose Man has some great headshots, man.
Are you doing a side by side?
This is when he was on The Guardian.
Wait, that's Ben Kingsley. That's not Nose Man.
I know. That's
why. It's funny. Yeah.
Anywho, so I heard that Fall Guys actually has really good music. That's what I'm looking forward to hearing. Like, apparently,
it's intense.
Is really
good. Yeah, it's okay. I don't know.
Gets you. gets it keyed up a little bit.
Yeah.
Dope
bass line. Like that.
Yeah.
So we've been we're interested to talk to you, Tom. There's a couple things from this week that we're gonna just kind of wrap up here from the previous week. We've been putting on a lot of content though. There's really not much.
To do
because it's we're like, between all these episodes, it's like one day, you know.
Tuesday or since 2 days ago.
Freaking Saturday, man.
Yeah.
We were on Saturday. So if you missed it, you know, we've put out, including this show in the last 7 days, four episodes in the last 7 days. So make sure that you check some of that stuff out. There's the Many Hues of MoGraph Part 2, which was last Thursday. That was really great. And then Brandon came on Saturday and he was talking to us about C-Graph and everything C-Graph. So that was great. Now, leading up to IBC, I was hoping to get a time on this because I honestly don't know what time IBC is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be at the usual time or if they're going to go by Europe time on that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why
we'll
they wouldn't go by
that.
European time, you know?
Well, I don't know if they're trying to broadcast to that audience or to this audience, so maybe we'll find out. Kevin's in the chat. Maybe he can find out for me.
Yeah.
And we could tell everybody, because what's going to happen is next week, next Monday is a holiday. We will be having a show.
What holiday is it?
And next Monday is
Labor Day.
Labor Day. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Rick says normal time, 8:30 a.m. Pacific start. Okay, so it will be on the usual Macton start time. And so we're going to have a Monday show, and then through the week, there will be streams for IBC. So make sure you check that out, 3D Motion Show. And let's see, anything else? I've been enjoying the Takes system this week.
Man, Takes are so great. Like it once you finally wrap, it took me a little bit to wrap my head around Takes. And I'll tell you, when Takes first came out, man, I made a lot of money off of that because
I know what you're saying.
We had a client. I had just left my full-time job to do Nexus Motion full-time, and we had a project that only I knew, you know, so they freelanced us out to do it. And the hard thing about it was, you know, you had to go through and it was all just changing materials, you know, for like three different things. And so you'd put all the materials on, you'd save it, you know, save as, blah, blah, blah. You'd do a new material, save as, do new materials, save as, you know. And so you'd have to create like 125 different projects and then put them into a queue. Well, this I didn't tell them we had the new version because they were on the old version. And so I just used Takes and I got it done in like, I don't know, half a day. And I charged them like a week's worth of time for it. You know? It's all right. That company's out of business now. So I can talk about it all I want.
They weren't using Takes.
Right? They weren't using Takes.
Yeah. That's right. They weren't efficient enough. Yeah. So I mean, of course I've used it before, but I've never really used it in bulk before. And there was a token that I was looking for because, you know, you got the different render tokens, right? And what I really wanted to find was something that would take the name of the parent, because I was working with this, I don't have it with me, but this acoustic insulation foam stuff, right? And in fact, hopefully, I think the client has said they're going to do a logo.
It's gonna be so
logo
rad.
I can put up here that's actually like acoustic material, but in the shape of our logo. It's gonna be awesome. And so the whole thing is there are these different types of I don't know what you call them, different types of designs for these different types of things. And it's like heavily NDA'd right now, but the different patterns and different types of colors of foam and materials that are inside of them vary, but they're always based off of these 10 different materials. So what I did was I set up those 10 materials as a sub take, and then I copied all those takes over and over and over again, and then I at the parent of all those groups of takes, I gave them a name, like, you know, this type of device number one, or this type of configuration with these different lights, or whatever it is, right? So you have the subtakes and they're all ready to go, and you're just copying and pasting a lot of stuff. And what I found incredibly useful for this was if you have a Cineversity membership and you get the CV, it's called the CV parent take.
Oh,
it's a token.
Cool.
Then it will take the name of the parent take and then tack cool. on the color. So it's like, this is this thing in this color. This is this thing in this color. And that made it so much easier. I was like, I know there's got to be something in there. I think Ace 5 Studios was doing a tutorial mm-hmm. and not really talking about it, but actually it had a drop down talking about takes, and I saw it in there, and I'm like, that's the take I need. And I know that it's not there by default. I feel like that should be in Cinema by yeah. default. That's yeah. super useful.
The tokens are awesome.
And there's another
awesome.
One that will... Yeah.
Tokens
and
awesome.
There's a bunch of stuff that comes with it, like a bunch of, like, it's a token package. mm-hmm. or something. So make sure you check that out. I just, you know, I never really got that into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not like I didn't know what it was. I never really had the need to go that deep, but yeah. man, is that a time saver. Instead of multiple projects and yeah. somebody changes something in one project, they change one material and then you have to copy and paste it into all your other projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
even like changes to different animations and stuff. Like instead of doing two projects, we recently had this one where it was like a, you know, walkthrough of a like a booth, you know, like a whatchamacallit, like a trade show booth, you know. And so doing one take and then having other parts that were animating within that and being able to keep it all in one project was really nice, you know.
The only thing that it didn't seem to pick up on was the MoGraph selection tag doesn't seem to be affected by it.
Oh yeah.
That's the one thing I had, because I went through, there are these multiple tiles, ceiling mm-hmm. tiles, and some of them needed to be gone at certain times, and they were put in there using a MoGraph cloner object. Well, mm-hmm. I would say, okay, in this take, turn off these four tiles
gotcha.
For this piece of material. And then when I would change it in another take, it wouldn't flip flop. So of course the easy solution around that is just to have, you know, two or three different versions yeah. of those tiles and, yeah. and just do it that way. But it would be cool if it affected it that way too, because then you could just change MoGraph configurations on the fly like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
It'd be pretty cool.
That would be neat. Yeah.
The same's true with like material order, right? Like I feel like I've done that where I've tried yeah. to do a different take where I change have the, you know, the top material change, yeah. but instead I'll just do five or ten.
Two different versions.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That makes
you can
sense.
Change,
I mean, that kind of makes
you
sense
can change
why it doesn't
the
work
actual
that way.
Material, I believe, can't you?
Oh, like
you could change the yeah. settings of them.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah. But you, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you
I don't know.
Like,
yeah, I know. I was just trying to stack a bunch of materials and then just have it be the one active material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then,
yeah.
It was great because some of these had varied color temperatures. So I'd go on octane and I would change the color temperature based on scene.
Yeah, that's
you
cool.
know, and that would all update. You yeah. know? So really, really cool. It's like a little late to the game. Oh, have you heard of takes?
Yeah. Hey, have you heard of the MoGraph cloner?
Right. But anyway, we're going to talk about you, Tom. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go back into the Wayback Machine. And I want to know how you got your start.
Sure.
We met you. You were kind of probably, I guess at this point, about to have some stuff go viral, I think,
yeah.
when we originally met you. And so tell us about before we met you, how you got started, whether or not you went to school.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I've just currently I'm a freelancer doing various motion things, a lot of 3D, mostly 3D, some kind of 2D stuff. But before that, I was always interested in animation just as a kid and all that stuff. I would do like, you know, stop motion, claymation stuff all the mm-hmm. time. And
yeah,
I didn't go to school for animation. I went to Lawrence University in Wisconsin. It's a liberal arts school. I was an environmental studies major, but when I went there,
environmental studies, huh?
Yeah.
That's yep. fun.
Yeah. And I liked it a lot, but, even before I went, I knew I was interested in film and some other stuff. I mean, I thought I would actually go into film after college, but then, mm-hmm. And there were some, you know, basic kind of film production classes. There was more film theory and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which was cool mm-hmm. too, but yeah, like when I was there, I actually had some pretty cool opportunities, just because the curriculum is all the professors were really chill. So I could basically, I started becoming really interested in Cinema 4D. I started using that at school, and I just asked one of my we had a digital processes class, which is basically just like, it was just an art class that where you'd mm-hmm. learn how to use, use a computer. And, I just basically asked them to do, if I could do an independent study to kind of just learn, take a semester to just learn visual effects and, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how, I did a short film that has a lot of visual effects in it, and, it looks terrible now, but I love it. I worked really hard on it at the time, and it was great. And, I learned how to do 3D tracking and add some stuff to scenes and things like that. And that's kind of, where I sort of got started with animation and stuff like that. So, and then I had another class. I was taking just a basic sculpture class at the time.
Cool.
And I took one term of that, and then the next term I asked my sculpture professor if I could take sculpture too, but do a lot of my sculpting in 3D.
That's funny.
And he's like, "Yeah, whatever, sure, that's cool." And then it's like, "Yeah, I'm not really taking sculpture, but that's fine." I was just in that class and making 3D sculpts and putting them into videos.
I'm jealous of you. I want to take an actual real life sculpting class really bad.
It's really fun. Yeah, totally. I really liked it. Anyway, after that, I kind of did some freelance work just after college, and I moved out to the East Coast for a little while. I worked at a video production company, just kind of basic video production, did a lot of mostly just kind of talking head interview stuff, or we actually did a lot of trial support for attorneys. So we would do a lot of taping of depositions and stuff, which was not very fun.
I used to do that.
Did you?
I feel like we've all done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, travel around Connecticut and take video depositions for 9 hours. And then,
man, how do you stay awake?
Yeah. Dude, I know. Yeah, it was hard.
I got in trouble for falling asleep one time.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was what do you do? You're sitting there behind a camera for freaking 9 hours, and
I'm not giving two craps about what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I paid enough attention to keep them in frame.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the cool thing about, the fact that that company had all those relationships with attorneys and stuff was that, they knew I was interested in animation. So I ended up doing a lot of accident reconstruction animation in Cinema 4D for attorneys. So, car crashes or usually through the weird, weird personal injury cases where I don't know, I did one where a pallet of crates fell on a guy in a Home Depot or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
these dynamics were,
I think I keyframed that one. I'd work with forensics people, and they would give me, a lot of calculations if there was you have to get the cars going at the right speed. And it was usually pretty, it was usually used for settlement purposes. So it often wasn't times evidence necessarily, but there was a couple of times where it was used as, demonstrative evidence in cases and stuff. I did a couple of trajectory cases on murder trials, and which are pretty wild. I actually had to go on the stand one time as an animator, which
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. That happened once, and it was kind of nerve wracking because they told me oh, you'll be on for 10 minutes. It's just to say what animation is, basically. And I was on the stage on the stand for an hour and a half because I was trying to
Jeez.
It was weird. They're just trying to discredit the animation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I was just I'm just
the truth. I want the truth.
Yeah.
But it was
just the animator.
They're asking questions so how much are you animating and how much is the computer animating? I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing it. It's on the computer. I don't know.
Let me tell you what a keyframe is.
Well, right. Yeah. It's I think they're trying to get on, is this a simulation versus an animation versus whatever. So,
right.
And it took a long time to get there, basically.
That's funny, dude. That's funny.
Yeah.
I had a very similar situation where I was called to the stand because of something I did, but it wasn't animation. It was something about a kidnapping trial, but it was a video file that was too slow, like they played it back in a regular VCR from security footage of the confession of the kidnapping.
Right.
But it was too slow, so they made me speed it up, or maybe it was vice versa, like slow it down.
Yeah.
You know, and do the same thing with the audio. So the whole question was whether or not that audio had been altered and why. He's like, did you watch the whole video? Like, this same thing. Like, you're like, they are trying to discredit you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're like, did you watch the whole thing? Did you watch the whole thing from start to finish for 2.5 hours? And how do you know that hasn't been altered? And I'm like, well, you have a visual representation of the audio.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I got to go pay my lawn guy. I'm sorry. I'll be right back. Okay.
Okay. Funny. That's funny.
Yeah. That's wild, though.
Got to tell him about Venmo. So, yeah, that's funny, man. They sit there and they try and discredit you, and they try and you know, because they want it to be submitted as legit. And so, like, the prosecution is just like, who's this guy?
Yeah, totally.
You know? Yeah. Man, that's funny. So, right. So were they happy with the outcome?
I think so, yeah, at the end of the day. I mean, you know, basically I ended up just describing, like, yeah, this is basically no different than if I came in with a few dolls and just said, like, it came in here and went out here, or, like, something like that. Right. So, you know, that's kind of how I ended up describing it, and I think that worked.
Yeah, so. That's a good point. I don't know why they try so hard to... I guess they're just looking for any reason to discredit anybody just for their case.
I mean, yeah, especially if they don't understand how, like, animation... Like, what animation, how it works, or, like, what it's doing, or who's in control, you know? if it's...
Yeah, because they're thinking, oh, well, you're doing something to make it more persuasive than it actually is, or something.
Yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure.
Like,
and, you know,
traumatizing.
Right. And the vast majority of the time, you know, if it's used in court, it would be demonstrative evidence. So it's not, you know, it's not made to be actual testimony. You know, it's basically, it's checked off by a professional and be like, yeah, this is basically what happened. It's not perfect, but it's like, this is a pretty good representation. It would be the same if you brought models in with you.
Sorry, I'm out of breath. I just ran upstairs.
Need to learn what Venmo is.
Are we still talking about depositions and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to actually help out the FBI on a terrorism case, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was, so the original case had been dismissed. Sorry guys, I'm out of breath, I ran upstairs.
Did you get to stake out in a van?
No. So here's what happened. There was this charity, you know? That you can't talk about. There was this charity that was basically taking money from people, and all that money would just basically go back to terrorism groups, you know, overseas. And so they'd have these big like parties and stuff, and like reenactments where they're talking about killing people and stuff. And so this one of the main people in charge had all these videotapes of these things. You know, it's like the terrorist videos that you see back on 4chan or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and they're going across the monkey bars and all that.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know that one. Yeah. But so one of the main people in charge knew the FBI was coming after him. So he took all these videotapes and buried them in his yard. And so, but then a few years later, he sold the house and the people dug up these things and they found them. And so the FBI went after this group, you know, for funding terrorism and stuff. And the thing got dismissed the first time around. But the second time around, they came to us and gave us all these videos. And we had to subtitle everything. It was like 400 hours of, you know, Arabic subtitling to English that we had to do.
How do you even...
They had a translator who would give us, you know... basically line by line, and as you're my God, listening, dude. You start to like catch key phrases and stuff, you know, and you're like, okay, I know what the rocks and stones are, all right, I know praise Allah, okay, cool, yeah, you know, blah blah blah. It's like that I had nightmares about that project because it was so much work.
That's wild.
Yeah,
what I want to know is
how these like
what I want to know
is like okay. We've all been through these trials of like
yeah.
The early days of trying to get into the industry. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Dude, for sure.
What were you saying, Tom?
Sorry.
Oh, no, what I wanted to know is how you forget your incriminating tapes buried in the backyard.
Right?
Right?
Right? It's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess like you bury something in your backyard, you're not expecting anyone to ever dig it up, you know? Yeah. Like why in the world would I go dig up my own backyard right now, you know? There could be a body back there and I wouldn't have any idea.
Yeah.
There isn't. I'm hoping there's not, but
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't remember where we were.
Yeah. Talking about your background.
After the reconstructions.
Yeah. Right. So after the reconstructions, and I still actually do that. I still do those every once in a while for that same company. Cause I when I quit that company, they basically just became my first like freelance client.
Yeah.
Cause I wanted to do it, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And you know, yeah. I'd been with them for a number of years and, you know, we had a really good relationship and they're great. So, you know, it made total sense to obviously just like, you know, I wanted to go freelance just cause like I wanted to stop doing depositions basically.
Yeah.
Focus just way more on animation, which is, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, they're my first client and, my first year of freelance was terrible. Made like no money, but you know, it was what I wanted to do. So I kept at it and I moved back here to the Twin Cities. And, it's only kind of recently, finally the last couple of years, like finally picked up. I feel like I'm pretty comfortable now. Like I have a good client base and
You know, it takes about 3 years for a business to really start growing. And I can, I can see that, you know, cause Dave and I have done pretty well this year. And I think that's because we've built up so much of a base over the past like 4 or 5 years, you know,
for sure.
Of
people totally.
And references and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, same. I mean, you know, once I moved back here, I kind of reconnected with some of my like filmmaking friends. And so I got a lot of jobs through, you know, I made a lot of contacts through that and like, you know, kind of came in contact with directors in town. Mm-hmm. So there's now I have kind of a number of, you know, visual effects clients that I work with or, you know, who make like short films and I'll do visual effects for or cleanup work or stuff like that. And then I have a number of like, you know, marketing firms that I work at or work, you do decent work for. So, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, the trajectory for the most part. Things have picked up, you know, in the last year since I started doing Instagram basically.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your Instagram and what did I call it? The virality.
Yeah.
Virality
of some of your work. So for those who don't know, you like there's been a bunch of stuff that I feel like I've seen online, you know, whether it be through, you know, just the Cinema 40 subreddit. I know you post a lot in there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
but
sure.
Also other ones like I know I've seen a few pieces of yours on the subreddit.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure, yeah, really. Nice.
See, I always thought it was
Yeah,
but the inflection was different.
Yeah, but there's a lot of you've done a lot of work that has gone viral, and I think that's I mean that's what everyone wants, you know. And I haven't seen this one. This is funny.
You haven't seen this?
No,
I had seen this, and I didn't realize it was yours until I went back to your Instagram.
That's the thing. That's why I said at the beginning, I said, you know, you may not know him personally or his name, but you definitely know his work because we've all seen it. Especially, I think I don't know if this one was the one that got the most views, but the the automatic bowling ball thing.
Yep.
Dave, can you go to that one? Like
I
saw that
down,
one.
Yeah,
it's down. Yeah,
there's a different.
I've made iterations now. I have the Bullbot.
Yeah,
5,000.
That one.
The like, Batbot 6,000.
When I first saw this, I was like, "Oh wow, that's a super cool machine." But then I started going through it, and I like started analyzing it. I was like, "Okay, this is 3D, but like it's clean. It is a super clean render."
Thank you,
you
very
know?
Much.
And,
I like that you even gave it like the CMOS, like you know what I'm talking about, like the CMOS sensor kind of the stretch.
Oh yeah,
and the CMOS sensor has a different look to it,
like the rolling shutter kind of look.
Things. Yeah, the rolling shutter.
So
the ball when you
completely
see the ball
unintentional.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a weird glitch that happened in Octane. I don't know how it happened. I tried to look into it at one point, but as soon as it gets up to speed, it like you know, it the ball kind of flattens out, and it's some motion blur thing that I don't understand.
I was going to ask.
That's interesting.
I know. I tried to figure it out like when some people were talking about it, and I tried to like ask about how that was happening. But I think I came across, it was some issue with the motion blur, or like it's like a step before or step after, you know, how you can kind of it was something with that. Exactly. So I'm not exactly sure. But it ends up working. It makes it look kind of like a digital video.
How many views did you get on this one?
Do you know? I posted it on Twitter initially, and that one got, I think it's at 20 million.
Wow.
Views. Yeah.
Wow.
Most of this happened within a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of crept up since then, but. It was really funny because, you know, I posted it just because basically the reason I started doing all this Instagram stuff, it was right after NAB last year. And I was, you know, just talking with everybody and like seeing all this cool work. And I was like, you know what, I should probably start just like putting some stuff out there. I've been making animations for a while, and like I had like a bunch of just personal animations that I had made, but I hadn't really posted anywhere. So I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll get an Instagram. I'll start an Instagram. I had an Instagram technically, but it was just like, you know, I hadn't used it for like 2 years. And so I decided I'd do some dailies for a little while. So I ended up doing 100 days of dailies, and some of it was like cheating. I had some, you know, early.
Oh, you know, if you hit 100 days, Beeple will give you $100.
Is that true?
Yeah, I heard that.
He owes me $100.
Yep. According, Casey Hupke called him out on it. Yep. You do 100 dailies and you hit up Mike, he will give you $100.
Posthumously, though? Or
like, yeah, it's
a, yeah,
if,
I don't
if
know.
He already did it before he said that? That's
no,
the question.
I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't deserve it, though, because I had a few that were just sitting on my computer for a while. But yeah, so the BatBot thing was the first thing that really went viral, and it went viral because, I mean, it went viral on Twitter, but then Will Smith posted it on his Instagram.
Oh, yeah?
And so that's when it kind of exploded, and I got all these hilarious, like, I mean, I got a lot of followers, but I got some really funny messages, like, you know, people who were thinking the machine was real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of offers to buy the machine.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
One dude asked me, how much would it cost to ship the Bulbot to Kuwait?
That's funny.
That like, is so funny.
And I had to let him down. Yeah, so that was fun. I got a Snopes article out of it.
Oh, that's funny. Great.
Yep.
Oh, that's dude, really that's funny. Like the dream right there.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. It's pretty great.
Because people are sharing it online, saying, funny. And everybody's arguing whether or not it's real.
And the whole scene, all these scenes, like... Like, all of them are, the whole scene is built, right? It's all 3D.
100%. 100% CG.
Because some of your stuff isn't. Some of your stuff you combine.
Yeah. A lot. Track, some right? stuff I'll just track. I usually just use, like, iPhone footage and put some stuff in there.
Yeah, but, see, that's what I had thought with the bowling one. I thought it initially was just some tracked footage that you put in there.
Right.
Go to the one of the guy jumping in the water. What is that one?
Yeah. Now this is from a YouTube video where the guy... Originally, he hits the ice and hurts himself.
I don't know if he breaks his tailbone, but he hits his butt real hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was you. See, I didn't even know that one was you, and I'd seen that one a million times, too.
Yeah.
That's probably on Reddit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that's funny is, like, when I first... I mean, certainly with the Bulbot, like, I initially just didn't watermark anything.
Uh-huh.
And so it just immediately just flew away, and, you know, it's elsewhere now. Yeah. But I find that, yeah, these tend to appear other places with my watermark cut out.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's what sucks. There's no good way, because you know people just crop it if they really want to.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna like splatter my like watermark on the front or something. Right. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Thomas the Tank Engine series that you have done.
Yeah, I've seen this one too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I mean that one. I don't know. I've always liked Thomas since I was a kid. Like I played with. But you know he has a creepy face.
Yeah.
So there's no two ways about it.
He does have a creepy face.
And I had seen there's a comic. I think it was Joel. I wrote it down. Joel Carroll, who had done this. Just this drawing on Twitter or something of like Thomas with his like neck coming out. It was like really but it was like cartoony and funny. And so I wanted to do that kind of, or you know, more creepy kind of version. And you know, you'd seen like all those like Garfield.
Oh, man. Right. Oh yeah. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was cracking me up. So I was kind of like, yeah, you know, give it a try.
You know, it's and really then, funny because like, even before, I think Ariev was the one who connected us together, mm-hmm. you know, even before that, or maybe it was because I had shown like the Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. And I was like, this guy's really good. I want to get him on the show.
Nice. Sweet. oh yeah, these ones I made recently. Just so you know, Chris Schmidt, he put out those sweet ragdoll
things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to play with those. So I did a two video series of ragdolling some characters in movies I like.
Oh man, that's funny. Oh, yeah. I saw this one too. Geez, dude. Like I saw this one just recently. This is the one where he and this wasn't even through your Instagram.
Yeah, so it got
that's great.
This one got posted. I think someone took it from my YouTube and and reposted it without the watermark and put it on Reddit. Because the thing that sucks is like Reddit is just like so fickle. Because I posted it first there on like the prequel memes or whatever, and it got like two views.
Yeah.
And then the next day, someone steals it and posts it, and it gets 30,000 hits. I was like, damn it. That sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did see this on prequel memes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Instagram followers do you have? Like, how many Instagram followers have you gotten from all this?
So, when I started, I mean, I think I'm like 78,000.
I feel like you should have so many more than that, you know?
Thank you. I don't know. I mean, I had like none when I started, so that's felt pretty good.
Right, there you go. Okay.
I mean, really, when it's when Will Smith posted that thing. Oh yeah, that's a Made in World machine.
Nice.
The dick butt.
Dick butt. Classic.
You know what's funny? I think I did a dick butt in World Machine once.
Did you?
When I first started it. Yeah.
And
just messing
original.
Around with it. But dude, the thing is, I was talking to Ariev about your work the last night when we were playing Halo, and he said, like, the hard thing about doing dailies is doing animated dailies.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and you were doing those.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I mean, it helps when I had no work going on.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons I had to stop, actually, because I started getting work from doing the dailies. Also, shout out to David Ari. He's given me a ton of really useful tips lately, especially I've been building a new system. So
cool.
He's given me a lot of really solid advice. So thanks, man.
What specs, bro?
I just copied his, man.
Oh, yeah.
So you spent a lot of money. That's the easiest way to
do it. Yeah, I spent a decent amount of money, but it's, you know, it actually sucks because I think I picked the worst time to make a computer because I wanted to fill it up with a bunch of 2080s.
Right. And now tomorrow they're going to announce the 30 series.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and like, I bought one 2080, and then I talked to David about it. He's like, oh, that's the wrong one. It's like the gaming one that will overheat everything if you have a bunch of them.
Oh, that's funny.
Right.
And so I sent it
with
back.
All the fans.
And then and then I tried to order one on you know, like the blower type. And 2 weeks go by, it hasn't shipped yet. And this is like through Newegg or something, through a third party.
Cancel it.
And then I canceled. I was just like, I asked what was going on.
The blower ones always come out later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So you'd be like, oh, sweet, 3080s tomorrow. Okay, well, let me wait 6 months for the blower version of this. You know?
Yeah.
That one that you were just doing with, like, the bend deformer and stuff like on it.
This is great.
No, thanks.
Was that motion tracked from footage?
Which one now?
A little bit, Dave?
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Drone footage.
That's a drone footage. So that's Minneapolis.
That's cool.
We have this tower called the Witch's Hat.
You recreated that in 3D first?
Yeah. I just did a 3D track in cinema. I did the scene reconstruction with the point cloud.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I found like, I don't see a lot of people using the point cloud. I mean, I see it every once in a while, but like, I don't feel like a lot of people are using it, and it's so useful for, especially stuff like this where, it just helps you line up.
How much of this is the point cloud then? Like,
oh no, so it's not, none of it's actually the point cloud rendered. I just meant for like, I use the point cloud for lining everything up because you can get, and you can obviously do the same thing with like just nulls and whatever. But I just find that using the point cloud is just so useful. And then, so yeah, I just rebuilt the tower. I painted it out a little bit, and then I just popped it on there. Yes.
I want to figure out if I would love to put a 360 camera on my drone so I can go get some HDRs.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Be kind of nice.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Some of the sculpture stuff on there. So I had, there's this great site. So I'm into 3D printing.
Cool.
I've got into that a couple years ago, and there's this site, My Mini Factory, where it has this amazing section called Scan the World.
Uh-huh.
And it just has full 3D scans of like literally thousands of famous sculptures.
That's awesome.
That you can just download.
Where's that at again?
It's called MyMiniFactory.com, and there's a section called Scan the World.
Scan the World.
And oh, hey Todd, what's up? but yeah, so I, you know, I've been doing these 3D prints, and this is that same one. Oops, here it is. So, oh, you know, nice. Making these,
scan the world. That's cool.
Wow. So yeah, just using, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's just such great base for animation, and also, I mean, obviously 3D printing up and, you know, downloading these and altering them. I sell them on Etsy too. So,
oh, cool.
yeah.
Do you make a lot of money selling 3D prints on Etsy?
Yeah, it's like good side hustle.
Okay. Okay.
And the 3D printer I have is just it's a basic Ender 3.
Ender 3.
It's kind of like an entry level. Like it was like $200 something.
Oh wow.
And I've had it for 2 years. It's great.
Okay.
No issues really.
Tony Capolillo,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying it wrong. He just got into resin printing, you know, he's been doing the resin printing. Holy cow. That is,
I saw him curing
clean.
Stuff. You gotta cure it with UV.
It is clean.
Yeah. The detail you can get.
Yeah. It makes me want to skip just the whole printing and just go straight to it. Right. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it takes
more
work
to say. Yeah, it takes a lot more work.
You need to cure it, and like the chemicals can off gas and stuff. So it's not exactly great to have. Like,
gotcha.
I mean, I have a small apartment, so I wouldn't want to do it here. But if I had a shop, I probably would.
Yeah, you'd want to do all that in your garage.
Yeah exactly.
Like I have one sitting here. You know, no issue.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That would have to be its own separate little area.
Yeah. Right.
Hmm.
But
that's cool.
Anyway,
storage shed in the backyard.
Right.
But yeah, I use Scan the World though all the time, and it's pretty great.
That's super cool.
So what kind of work have you been getting from doing these? Like who comes to you in general from Instagrams? Like, I want you to do a gig for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I get a lot.
I need you to manufacture the actual bowling machine.
I need you to send me this machine, please. yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it's, you know, I definitely get a lot of, you know, requests for like music video stuff, and I've done, you know, I've done a few of those. A lot of it's kind of your standard. It's like, could you do this like 10-minute video? I have $100.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
okay, but, if I have to.
Right. Yeah. but yeah, a lot of music video stuff. I've gotten a few jobs. Yeah, with some directors out in California and some other. I mean, you know, to be honest, still most of my work is kind of word of mouth or just kind of my kind of standard network kind of in town.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of I just started a job with this marketing firm in Greenland, actually, which
cool.
I met through Instagram, and they're really cool. And it's been a lot of fun. So it's pretty cool. I mean, you get to like meet a lot of people.
Have you found a significant increase in the amount of work that you've gotten since like some of these posts have gone viral?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, you know, again, I think, you know, a lot of the jobs I've been getting, and most of them have kind of been one-offs so far through Instagram. But yeah, I mean, definitely since then, I mean, it's totally just gotten my name out there at least a bit.
That's cool.
What do you plan on doing in the future? Like, are you thinking about doing any sort of short or something like that?
Yeah,
like,
maybe. Yeah,
dude, you gotta do a full series on the Thomas the Tank Engine.
I would love to. I don't know. I have to. You know, I've had a few plans for some, at least some other just quick ones, but I would love to do a short at some point. Yeah, for sure. I haven't had the perfect inspiration yet, but
yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine what the story for the Thomas the Tank could be. That could be fun. You could really have some fun with that.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, there's got to be some, you know, horrifying origin story involving, I don't know, some chemicals.
Thomas had never seen such bullshit in his life. That's the meme, right?
That's right. Just fed up, man.
You got to work that in somehow.
It's fed up and killed everything.
Yep.
I like the thought that it's kind of the mix between Thomas and the Hello John stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You can
really play on that and just get super creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with Halloween.
Just hunt hunt Sir Topham Hatt.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to make it just slightly different so you don't get sued, right?
Yeah, I guess I should. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I feel like giving him legs and a long neck might do it. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not. What's fair use, right?
Sir Bottom Hat. I don't know.
Yeah.
The large controller.
Yeah.
Just make it Ringo Starr.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Opus. Thomas the Tank Engine is a decommissioned train, right? And he doesn't like being decommissioned, you know, and then goes to...
there you go.
You know, kill off the people who decommissioned him. I don't know.
There you go.
Or maybe he became, like, evil, and so they had to decommission him.
That's
know?
Right.
I don't know.
This is getting very Beeple's people. Well,
sealed him up in a wall.
Right. Well, I have him in the Hannibal Lecter... I have the Hannibal Lecter animation in there, too.
Yeah.
There's the where he's behind the glass wall with the holes in it.
Oh, man. Or Tommy.
You got a great motion reel, too. You've got some other stuff in here besides your dailies. You got some great work.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, a lot of stuff I've been doing. I mean, I try to keep, like... I mean, I was trying to decide if I should make my motion reel, like... super weird or actually have like
that's the stuff you're gonna,
corporate
that's,
stuff that's in there, you know,
you're gonna
that's
get
what I was gonna ask you. Yeah, because on your reel, the way you have it set up is you do show some of these, but then you go into the corporate stuff. I imagine that's kind of hard to figure out how you want to balance that.
I don't know, I just wanted to put it all there. I mean, at some point I might make a separate couple of different reels, but at the same time, just because I know that some of this stuff is kind of viral, I figured I should like keep some of it in there
for sure.
There's that Mixamo animation.
You got a lot of rigging. Yeah, I was gonna ask if it's Mixamo stuff. If you're super into rigging, animating.
I do some rigging, but you know, a lot of the time I'll cheat it. And, I mean, like with the AT-AT dancing stuff, I'll like that was Mixamo. I just used the hips from a dancing guy, and I connected the hips to the you know, did some IK stuff on there and whatever. But yeah,
that's pretty.
Yeah, and some just classic MoGraph stuff.
Classic.
Yeah. Like you do.
Like you do.
You got to
pay
that.
The bills.
You
gotta
see, show that you should have, on the one where he's scrolling up on the iPad, you should have put your animation in there.
Oh, yeah. Just be Thomas full screen. Right? Yeah.
What?
Oh, it's funny.
This is just normal.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that one. That was for the Cinema 40 subreddit like thing.
Oh yeah,
the mini machines, the challenge, or whatever, right?
Thing? Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Tiny machines.
Micro machines.
Yeah, that one. That one was another one where I used the point cloud really heavily. It was super useful for that. That's just like me sticking my phone out my window on my couple of bricks there.
Yeah.
You have a lot of VFX type stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Maybe not even any Cinema 4D. You did have that one. It's the one. I don't know if it was on your website or if it was on your.
I love the name Coban Dioxide.
Oh, thanks a lot.
It's great. Yeah, and then the logo CO2. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
I was gonna ask you about your which one was it? Let me look it up here real quick. So you had a bird in a parking lot. Where is that?
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I was
going
to ask, like, is this just something you took with your iPhone?
Yeah. So the problem,
here it is.
There it is. Yeah. The thing about doing dailies every day is that it gets to be 11 o'clock at night and you're like, yeah, I should do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had this video. I was sitting in a parking lot and took a video of a crow eating a french fry or something. And
then you just put the like, humping boy in the
shorts.
I
put the humping guy in there because, you know, I thought it'd be
funny.
Why not? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I had done...
Your motion tracking is really good. I gotta say.
Oh, thanks.
You know?
Yeah,
Cinema 4D?
Yeah, I think that was Cinema 4D, yeah. Actually, you know what? That might have just been... I might have done it in Mocha and had him as a still.
Gotcha, yeah.
And just done it in After Effects. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many likes does that one have?
And I also...
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not showing likes anymore.
2,000. Yeah, that's true. I could check, I guess. But
Urban Polar Bear liked it.
I think you have to click others. I don't, that's Urban Polar Bear. They hit others. I thought it said... Oh, only you can see the total.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I like the audio. That's the other thing I was going to say, like in the one with the bowling and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You could hear people laughing at it in the background. Yeah. Like they're,
well, I wanted to make it. Yeah. I feel like that's a thing that's often kind of overlooked in a lot of CG stuff is like taking the extra few, you know, taking the extra hour, just kind of put some good audio in there. And
I love that part.
I do too. Fun. Audio stuff is great. And just have, you know, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes such a huge difference. And I think I just downloaded some like YouTube video of a dude laughing or something and just put through him in there.
That's funny.
That's kind of like, it reminds me of the Nat audio and the laughing that was in some of Jan Sledeco's stuff, like the astronauts.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it reminds me of when you hear people laugh in the background. Very natural.
Yeah.
You know, almost live YouTube video or something.
There's this one child laughter. It's a young girl laughing. And I hear it all over the place.
I know which one you're talking about.
I feel like I might know what you're talking about too.
It's like or something like that. You know, when I was in college, we had to do like some ADR stuff, and so you know we had this DAT tape with a whole bunch of individual things, and so we had to you know fade up and fade down and record to our own DAT tape. And I must have heard that laughter at least 100 times. And so it's ingrained in my brain. It's like the Wilhelm scream
you're like
for me.
Triggered.
Yeah, it's the Wilhelm scream of children's laughter.
Absolutely, you know.
But see, I think that scream is done almost like
comically,
like just on purpose. Now, I think people just throw it in just to see if people like us catch it or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, did you catch the scream?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's the same exact thing for a particular baby crying.
Yeah,
like that I've heard in like at least 5 or 6 movies.
Yeah.
And a Mack truck going by.
Oh, okay.
Burr, oh yeah.
Like every time you're like, that's the exact same.
That's funny.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave's links. I have one link today.
One link
that I could give y'all. You want my one link? I think it's probably, who was it? It was Lil Ryan. Lil Ryan shared this.
Is this his new, is this part 2?
No, this is just something he shared this morning. I was just giving him credit for posting it. Lil Ryan, he's all grown up now. Frozen 2 Houdini effects.
Oh, cool.
Stuff from Houdini. And, It's a really cool breakdown on how they did a lot of the water scenes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And just like giant, like the dam breaking fracture objects, just incredible sims.
Yeah.
Like, just like, how do you even begin to do this kind of sim? It makes my head hurt because I just don't have the patience
for it. I don't think people who are doing water and fire and smoke sims and stuff like that are generalists like we are. You know, they've got to be like, that's their main gig, you know,
that's their jam.
So,
and I can see how it would be fun. I mean, I saw some of the sims that are in there and it's like they're doing crashes plus they're creating terrain and using other terrain that the water hits to art direct what's happening and stuff like that. And you can just imagine what that takes.
Yeah.
To run that many sims, and hopefully I'm assuming that people that are on this level working for Disney, they've got some ridiculous machine
they're on
taking
an iMac
care of this, you know. yeah they're at home on an iMac just working remotely. But I could imagine it's fulfilling.
Yeah.
In the end, but so. Man, just I couldn't do that from day to day. I have to be able to hop around and
Yeah, I like the more I like the more generalist stuff. I feel like I can accomplish 90% of what I with the knowledge that I have now. The extra 10%, I just got to go learn it or just whatever
or outsource it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Find somebody who can do it better. Right.
Right. Another link. Check out the Go Gorilla Filmcast. This week's episode that they just released yesterday. They got director and VFX artist Jeb Hardwick. You can check it out on the part of the MoGraph Podcast Network. Go to MoGraph.com/podcasts, and you can check them out. This is a really cool episode. He's a big VFX people. They go into some of the nerdy stuff that we like to talk about as well. So it's a really good. It's complimentary to the show today. So make sure and check it out.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to insert an advertisement for them right now.
Hi, my name is Sashia Dumont. I'm a writer, actor, and filmmaker.
Hi, my name is Paul Robinson. I'm a director, DP, and filmmaker. We are the creators and hosts of the Go Gorilla Filmcast, an online source for all things indie film.
We are a husband and wife film team and co-owners of Send 3 Productions, and we started this podcast for filmmakers like ourselves who were producing on micro budgets with skeleton crews.
Go Gorilla is a weekly podcast that features various talents in TV, film, and web series productions.
We've interviewed filmmaker powerhouses like Kestrel Pantera,
Richard Raymond,
Alex Ferrari,
Cassandra Ebner,
and Ryan Connolly. Amazing actors like Hannah Ward,
Lou Taylor Pucci,
Chris Witaski,
and Eileen Gruba.
Groundbreaking cinematographers like Jody Lee Lipes,
and Jessica Lee Gagne, and many more.
We also offer weekly reviews of our favorite films and shows, which vary from low-budget first-time filmmakers to A-listers and everyone in between. Go Gorilla is proud to announce that we have officially joined the MoGraph Podcast Network.
So if you love filmmaking as much as we do,
tune in every Sunday for a new episode of the Go Gorilla Filmcast,
your source for all things indie film.
Now available on the MoGraph Podcast Network.
Perfect.
That was good.
It was so good.
It was good. It was the most enjoyable version of that same trailer that I've already heard. Mm-hmm. Even though it was exactly the same.
Yep.
That was the best version of it.
That was the best version.
And Paul, yeah, Paul's in the chat right now. All right. What else are we doing here? I don't have any more links.
All right.
You got any more links?
Nope.
You got anything?
Nope.
Anything
just
you want
a bunch
to throw
of viral
in,
stuff
Tom?
That any, I've seen
any
from
cool
Tom.
Links? What's some cool stuff you've seen lately that
yeah,
you
what enjoy? What are your inspirations? You know?
Oh man.
Because and like what like you know, you got to have kind of a weird mind to come up with, you know, some of these Thomas the Tank Engine and like the dude,
yeah.
You know, air humping the bird thing.
Oh, totally. <It's> like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's obviously so many, you know, really talented animators on Instagram. It's such a huge community there.
Yeah.
I mean. Actually, okay. So the last couple of days, actually, I don't know if you guys know Felix Colgrave.
That name sounds so familiar.
He's not a 3D guy. Mm. He does standard cartoon kind of animation. On I assume Flash or whatever it is now. I love his work.
Uh huh.
His stuff is so weird and trippy and beautiful.
He didn't work on. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm looking at some of his stuff right now. Yeah.
This guy's great.
Very
weird. I've the last like couple days I've rediscovered him and been just watching all the videos on YouTube. I really like Double King, which is one of the really good ones.
And this isn't just still; it's animated as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's animated. It's beautiful. But I mean, just in terms of like aesthetics, I think that's really fantastic. And
he didn't do. What's the name of it? Has he done any cartoon shows?
I don't know.
Or anything like that?
I'm not sure.
I'm just curious.
Beautiful work.
Yeah.
Is that you, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. I usually have this thing muted, but no, I'm not sure if it's not who I thought it was. But you remember Super Jail? Super Jail was a really crazy looking style as well, but it kind of reminded me of that, some of the stuff that I saw. Not exactly the same, though. So this is all Flash, huh?
I think so. Or, I guess I don't
some form of
whatever it is now. But yeah, it's just super weird and kind of dark and
it's
fun
pretty.
And funny.
I love
and,
it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's great. I'm trying to think. On Instagram, I really like MBG Core.
Now that sounds familiar.
They do. They're really popular. They do a lot of. They do a lot of kind of physics-y, like ragdoll stuff mm-hmm. with people, but it's using some engine that I don't really know.
MBG it's like, underscore core, right?
I think so.
Ocean Blaster Graphics. Is that it?
MBG yeah, core. I feel like I have seen this. Yes, yes. I have seen this.
It's just like people flopping around. It's great. And this thing.
That
yeah,
one's
this,
good.
This
one's so
fantastic.
Funny.
I love this one so much. I've seen that around.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some bend deformers and stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, you just come up with a fun idea. It doesn't even have to be, like, that. It doesn't have to be super 100% mega realistic. Just tell
totally.
A fun story, you know?
Oh, man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. I can see how that can inspire you, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love them.
That's rad.
Wow.
Cool.
It's fun.
Yeah, that super pain one's great. I'm trying. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, there's so many artists out there, man.
Yeah, there are.
So speaking of your influences, let's do a little thing called MoGraph Recommends. We'll talk about your influences from other areas as well, and we'll start off and ask you these questions, and they can be your favorites from recently, or they could be all time. It really doesn't matter. Which
sure,
but we'll start with your favorite movie.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Lord of the Rings.
Okay,
I have a very strong connection with that series. I think honestly, I was just talking about this yesterday that I don't think I would be doing what I'm doing today without the special features from
that's funny
the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
You went back and watched them all and.
Yeah, well, because when they came out, I was in love with the movies, and I got all the extended editions, and you know, watched all 12 hours of bonus features. And,
yeah,
you know, that's how I got interested in film in the first place, and you know, all this stuff with like creating Gollum and creating all that stuff. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Where is this photo taken here?
That's in New Zealand. That's at the Shire.
It's the one, right?
It is the Shire
recreation.
Wow.
No, that is the Shire. It's a funny story because they built the Shire, you know, for real for Lord of the Rings, and then they tore it down after they wrapped up. But then people started figuring out where the Shire was, like, and they wanted to go see it, and they went to this farm and be like, "Where's everything?" And so when Peter Jackson went back, he asked them for the Hobbit when he went back. He's like, we want to build the Shire again. And so the owners of the farm, just like a sheep farm, there's like, okay, cool. You can do it again, but you have to build it permanently.
Yeah.
And so we can host, you know,
that's cool.
Tours and stuff.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Can you pay extra and like do a B&B in that place?
That'd be awesome.
I wish, man. No, I don't think so.
They could really bank on that.
I know. Yeah. I mean, those are, I think all the Hobbit holes are empty. It's actually cool though. Cause there's all the different scales there. They have like Hobbit scale Hobbit holes and human scale Hobbit holes.
So that's cool.
When Gandalf walked around, you could see, you know, yeah, but it's a whole tour thing. So you go there and, you can't like just go, you have to go through a company and, you know, you walk through and then they'll feed you a Hobbit meal.
That's funny.
And, yeah, it's really good.
Limbus bread. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I saw a funny meme or something the other day that was talking about, like, you know, it's been what, 20 years, 25 years, something like that, some ridiculous amount since Lord of the Rings came out, you know, and then the fandom is still around, you know, and then same with Harry Potter. Harry Potter's been out forever and the fandom is still around. And they said, but look at Game of Thrones. No one's talking about it anymore.
it's such a bummer,
what happens when you have a terrible ending to a show. Like, just the fandom goes away.
It just sucks because
they
like,
should do a last series, a last season reboot or something.
Yeah,
that would be. Wouldn't that be cool though? If a series came back and said, "Okay, you know what? We're gonna change The ending.
Nah, because then
of
you
the
got
series.
Then that's they did that with How I Met Your Mother. You know, because so many people hated the ending.
Did
when
they
replaced it, when they did the DVD special or whatever, they changed the ending because so many people were pissed about it. See, no one talks about that show anymore. It was a good show up until the last season.
Yeah. You know? See, well, it just sucks because, like, I take such great pleasure in, like, rewatching a show.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, if you know it's going to end that way, it's like, okay. I mean, I could watch the first few seasons again, I guess.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know.
That's why I don't rewatch Lost.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Lost was a great show episode to episode, but man, they like, they really dropped the ball.
J. Abrams lost interest.
Yeah.
Lost was like the only TV show that I ever watched, like, from the beginning to the end TV.
Same here. And I got so burned by it that, like, I could, like, that systematically changed the way I think about television was Lost. You know, because it's like I'm not going to invest my time. Like, that's why I've seen like maybe two episodes of Game of Thrones, and I've seen like maybe a handful, like one episode of the zombie show,
Walking Dead.
Oh,
yeah.
Walking Dead.
Waiting for it to pay off. You know.
Yeah.
Same with Dexter was another one. You know, all of them interest me, but I wasn't going to invest my time.
Yeah. Yeah,
Logan
sure.
in the chat said The Hatch had me going for a while.
The Hatch was great.
It did for me too. Like,
I love that.
It was a great concept.
Right?
It was so mysterious and, you know, scientific research and secret government everything.
I may have had a rant or
before?
Two about Lost.
Yeah. Now, Kevin wonders if we've ever gotten into Breaking Bad or The Wire.
Yes, I love Breaking
See,
Bad.
And that's the thing. Like, and I took a gamble with Breaking Bad because I've heard so many good things about it. I didn't get into Breaking Bad. I didn't watch it until, like, I got caught up to the last season. You know, like, I got caught up to the half season, you know, like season five and a half or whatever. That's when I was finally caught up.
Yeah. It's about where I... got into it.
Anyway,
I mean, they had a plan for a full show. It's great,
right?
They knew when they were gonna end
of which
it.
What about your favorite TV show then while we're at it?
Oh man, I mean, that's a tough one. There's a lot. I've just watched, well, everyone like favorite of all time, like, it's probably The Simpsons. I think they've influenced my they've influenced my you know, sense of humor quite a lot. I think
classic Simpsons or like,
oh yeah, classic Simpsons. Come on.
How okay, I guess that should be one of our questions.
How old are you, Tom?
How many seasons into into The Simpsons?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when I stopped watching.
Yeah, when
probably
when
season 15 or 16.
15.
That's probably about
around there. I mean, I think I petered out after there. Like, I would watch every once in a while, and every once in a while I'll watch like an episode of like a new one, but it just feels so different.
The thing is the episodes, like, and here's what I found, because Dave and I will do our yearly, you know, our yearly Halloween.
Ooh, one month from tomorrow.
I know, 1 month from tomorrow. So we watch a Halloween episode every single day in October, you know.
Oh nice.
And so, because now there's 31 episodes, I believe.
You know? Oh wow, that's crazy!
So, yeah, I think
technically 32, because there's the one Halloween episode that's the canonical Simpsons,
right? Not the Treehouse of Horrors one, right?
Right.
Yeah, gotcha. But I've found like The Simpsons is still a good show if you watch it, you know. But it's just not the same show that it
was.
That's
the thing. Yeah,
you know, it's still funny. It's still topical.
Sure.
It's still good, but it's not the same one that we all grew up with. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
It doesn't have the ironic humor.
And it's not like the whole thing was, you know, Bart was a, you know, he was a bad mouth, bad talking, you know, whatever kid who wasn't good at school. And now it's just like, I mean, what is it? And now it's just focused on Homer and, you know, how dumb he can get. You know,
right. He gets dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
And his humor has changed. His specific humor is different now.
Yeah,
you know, it's just this whole silly humor and not like the sugar episode. I love the sugar episode. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That is a good one.
You know, he's first in America. First, he bit the money, then you get the power. No, the sugar, then the power, then you get the women. Get the women. You know,
those are prizes.
Yeah, and he pulls out the British guy from behind the sugar.
Like, get out of here!
Hello. Where'd you get that sugar? I took it when you let your guard down for that split second. And do it again. You don't get that, like, just off the wall. Now it's just him being kind of dumb.
I did enjoy the movie. I thought the movie was good, you know?
Yeah, I think, that's probably where I stopped watching the show, though, after that. Like, around that time.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for a few more, like, months or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, all the Halloween episodes, I think, are great, you know? Mm-hmm. They're all very topical and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And I don't want to hate on the Simpsons now because they're still good. Yeah, but it's just a.
But classic Fleshy Simpsons. Meadows. I mean, there's too many repeatable classic lines. Simpsons. You know, there's it's so true, many
yeah.
quotes.
I quote it daily.
Uh huh. Daily.
And I'm
yeah. yeah. Hope I didn't brain
and
it.
And I have for 25 years.
yeah, and now nobody knows what it is.
I know.
I
made a quote.
Listening.
So my brother, he's 25. Our babysitter who watches the kids while I'm at work. is 24 and I make all these Simpsons jokes all the time and neither one of them get it. And I'm like, oh, this is so no, depressing. Man. So yeah. I've gotten to the point now where I will pull out my phone and show them the joke, you know, so that they get what
that's the joke.
Exactly.
yeah.
Anyway.
That sucks. It's like being a kid and somebody's mentioning Bullwinkle and Rocky jokes or Beanie and Cecil or the Flintstones or something, you know, or Jetsons or something. And now it's like the same thing, man. We're just getting old.
Logan in the chat says at our family camp, I referenced the Simpsons to a group of kids and they said, "What Simpsons?" That's when I knew I was old. That's funny.
Oh man, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. That hurts.
They're dying a slow, painful death.
Yep. Yeah.
They don't know. They just don't know.
I want you to die.
I just don't understand.
You know, he's
it.
Already dead.
He's already he's dead. Already.
You know, and I like similar to, you know, watching The Simpsons and stuff, like I've made my kids start watching because HBO Max has released all the old Tom and Jerry's and all the old Looney Tunes ones. So so
I'll be doing crab juice. Oh God. Oh, take the crab juice.
But I've made my kids start watching like classic Looney Tunes and stuff, and like I realized how much it has influenced me in my life and like my humor and what I find funny and like
and how racist the cartoons were.
I mean, some of them, yeah. But like,
yeah,
I mean,
some of them were pretty bad.
It's like I love being able to go back and watch a lot of these old Looney Tunes, like the Tex Avery ones. Man, they're just so good. So good.
The wolf.
I remember being like nine and renting like a Roadrunner cartoons from the library.
Yeah.
And I'd do that like every week.
Yeah. Dude.
It was such a treasure back then.
Yeah.
Now it's so easy to say, oh, here's 20 episodes of this thing. But
that's
back then, you know, if you wanted that, you had to record it yourself and you'd have your, like, I had a prized VHS tape that was done in EP because you had to do it in EP if you wanted to get a ton on it. You know, six hours instead of two or two and a half or two. And it was all Ninja Turtle episodes, all from different Saturday mornings and syndication. And it was like the holy grail. Like, oh, you can watch Ninja Turtles over and over. You can binge this. But it's people don't get it now. And Saturday morning cartoons, same thing.
Yeah,
I did the same thing. I had a legit file folder or a file cabinet that I filled with VHS tapes of only The Simpsons.
That's funny.
I would tape it every day at 5 o'clock.
I worked for a place where we did VHS to DVD transfers for a really long time. And we had a guy come in who had recorded like every episodes or multiple copies of, gosh, what is that? What's the, is it Hawaii 5-0? Who's the mustache guy, Tom Selleck? What's the show? I think it's Hawaii 5-0. Might have been Hawaii 5-0.
Not Hawaii 5-0. You're talking about MacGyver.
Not MacGyver.
It was...
No.
Just the name.
I know what you're talking about.
I do too.
Miami?
Vice? Is it a Miami Vice?
No. It was like...
Miami Vice?
Magnum P.I. There it is.
There it is.
Magnum P.I. Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, no, Magnum PI.
It's all the same.
They had brought in, like, it was probably, it was more hours of Magnum PI than the show actually was, right? And so he brought in, it was two gigantic cases of tapes, and he wanted every single one transferred to DVD, you know? And so we transferred them. It ended up being like $5,000 or $6,000. And we're like,
dude,
and this
buy
was,
yourself a
this was
DVD
when DVDs
reporter.
Were starting to come out on like seasons and stuff. And we're like, dude, if you literally just wait a month, you can buy every single episode for like $100, you know? No.
It's like, no, like, it must
and
be
mine.
He said,
no, I want all the commercials too.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now I got to say, yeah. I got to say, I do enjoy the retro commercials. Yeah, I like to watch old episodes of Wheel of Fortune from the 80s, because it still applies. You
yeah,
can still do the
true.
Puzzles, right? And then you have like the 80s commercials in there, man. And there's thousands of episodes yeah. online. So
that's funny.
Welcome to Old Geezers.
Welcome to Old Geezers. Yeah.
Remember VHS?
Remember Super VHS?
Remember VHS?
Remember?
Did you use your SVHS cable?
Mm-hmm.
S-video
cable?
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about music.
Yeah.
What are your musical influences? What do you like to listen to, and while you work and otherwise?
I don't know. I guess I kind of just listen to like random stuff on Spotify most of the time. I mean, it's pretty eclectic, I'd say. I don't really have like a specific thing I listen to a lot. I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I'm, you know, if I'm like working for a long time, just those sweet, sweet lo-fi beats, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you there.
You know.
eclectic like Sade.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Sylvan Esso and like
Sylvan Esso's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm always terrible. Like, I listen to a lot of stuff, but I'm just I never
know
what
the
it
name.
Is.
Yeah. That's the thing about Spotify. That's the thing about Spotify these days.
That's
new
fangled contraption.
Yeah, it's like you just start a radio and you just don't
exactly,
you don't
yeah.
listen. You know, you don't know what the names are anymore.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and after you favorite them, you're like, oh, this is a good song. You hit the star button,
yeah.
but you don't know the name of the song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just put it in a playlist.
It, what's
and
really
like,
funny
yeah,
is
cool.
I'll get a song stuck in my head, you know, and I don't know the name or the band or anything like that. And then I'll have to Google it, you know, because I've heard it 800 times on a playlist or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Do they have Shazam for humming yet?
I think so.
Funny story. They actually, in the very first early days of the App Store on the iPhone, they did have something like that. And it actually kind of did work, and I used it once or twice, and then it disappeared. Mm.
I think you can do that
really
with Shazam. I think you
can.
Can
you?
I don't know if you can with Shazam. Maybe Shazam bought that company up.
Let's try it.
Maybe that's why.
Let's try it.
Do something. What's something good, though? You have selected Family Guy.
No result. Nope, you can't hum, man.
I think it's more that's based on more of an imprint. Like it has the waveform. It matches the waveforms.
Yeah.
Like almost like,
be, like exactly.
Like it's mathematical.
Yeah. Mathematical.
Right.
As Adventure Time would say. What else we got? Podcasts. What podcasts do you listen to?
Lately I've been listening to a lot of, Reply All. I like that one.
Cool. What's that one about?
Internet related stories, kind of.
Like I heard that's
radio,
a good
radio
one.
Lab or, yeah. I like it a lot. It's a good format.
It's different every time, right? What's the premise?
A podcast
so it's
about
like,
the
it's
internet
like,
that is actually an unfailing original exploration of modern life and how to survive it. That's neat. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's kind of like Radiolab or something like that, but like, you know, they just come up with, you know, some interesting story, but it's often tangentially somehow related to the internet.
Mm-hmm. And they're weekly, too.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. There's this one great segment that's called Yes, Yes, No, where two of the hosts will explain tweets to their other kind of older hosts.
That's funny.
Who find them online and just basically explain memes. And it's actually helped me quite a lot because some you just be like, I've missed this whole thing.
That's
so
funny.
Thank you for the
like an urban dictionary
explainer.
Type thing.
It's basically that, but as a segment, and it's every couple of weeks I'll do that. So that's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Let's see. Plugin. Favorite plugin.
Oh, man. I mean, I use X-Particles a ton. Yeah. I love X-Particles so much.
Remind me to ask you an X-Particles question once we're done.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm having to create a snowball, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
There's some good examples now.
There
though,
is, yeah. Actually,
this
Saturday I was watching Bob Walmsley had a really good tutorial on mm-hmm. snow, and so I was following along with
that.
Oh,
nice.
But like he starts off with it in one place, and then it just falls into place. I needed mm-hmm. to have like
right.
velocity initially. You
oh,
know?
Oh man. Okay.
So, because I gotta throw the snowball.
You know? Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Anyway. That's my question.
Okay. I'll think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, think about it.
I feel like most of the time I just use X-Particles. I just like throw out a like an emitter, pop some curl turbulence on yep. there and call it a day.
Yeah, that's me too. That's me too. You know.
No, I've been trying to like get, I mean, it's such a deep plugin
so
that like
deep.
You I don't know, I could
it's
most of the stuff I'm using it for is just like surface level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's still amazing.
Yeah, I mean, but still like a lot of the surface level stuff looks fantastic.
Oh
know?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And you know, being able to do like smoke and fire stuff mm-hmm. in Cinema now is great.
Yeah.
You know, I've used that on a couple of like short films and mm-hmm. stuff as kind of elements, and it just looks fantastic.
Yeah. I feel like 90% of the work that people are hire or people are looking for X particles people for, you know, are some of those really basic surface level particles with
oh, yeah,
trails
totally.
And you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's great, you know, because that's some of the more easy stuff. It's like once you get into the intricate stuff, that takes a little bit more work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested to see in the next who knows when it's coming out, but the what's it called, Nebula?
Yeah.
From mm-hmm. Video Copilot, like I'm really interested to see like once you can like do some simulations in X particles, render out of like export out of EDB and bring it into After Effects and do some stuff there.
Oh yeah,
crazy.
Like
yeah,
that could be a pretty. I don't know. I'm really excited for that.
When is that coming out?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
he announced it like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Yeah, I saw a demo at MDC a year ago last January.
Yeah.
I think he did like 2019 at NAB.
Yeah.
Was when I saw like the first. I mean, I think people were talking about it before then, but that was the first time I had seen
yeah.
a demo of anything. At
well, he showed it off at in January of 2019
yeah.
for the first time in London.
Oh, okay.
And everybody had their phones out and was posting it online, but there was no official
yeah.
anything. So it was just kind of this
just like rumors
viral thing
mm-hmm. yeah.
for a while. And then he did the official show off on the stream and. But yeah, that would be so cool to see. Oh, and he showed off at NAB this year, I think, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
he
did.
That too.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, being able to do some, I mean, just doing like some fog stuff or any atmosphere kind of
yeah.
stuff in After Effects would be really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any 3D yeah. stuff in After Effects would be useful. Just being able to like skip the rendering and even having it real time.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Whatever. It's After Effects.
And, headphones.
Headphones. Oh, favorite headphones. Yeah. These ones right here. These are Bose Quiet Comfort, I think.
Nice.
That's right.
I like
this
them.
This week's yeah. episode brought to you by yeah. Bose Quiet Comfort 35.
Bose, sponsor us.
Bose. Ding. Send us free headphones.
Give us headphones because yeah. we talk about you.
All the time.
What about your favorite go-to app, muscle memory on your phone? What are you always opening?
Oh, man. I mean, it's probably just Reddit.
Straight up. Yep.
Yeah. But
Reddit in the morning, hop over to the news,
yeah.
get pissed off, have to move then back Instagram. Over in yeah. general. And
yeah, exactly. I'll switch back between Reddit, different
yeah.
apps until they make me angry
yep.
and then switch to a different one.
Yep. yeah. Now, lastly, it's going to be... Well, you have any favorite Reddits, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, what's some of your favorite subreddits?
Oh, man, let's see. I mean, you know, I'm on the Cinema 40 one
yeah.
quite a bit. That's
yeah, you're very active
community.
In that mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, I haven't yeah. posted anything there for a while, but I love that community. It's such a good,
yeah.
I mean, it's a good space.
Yeah.
yeah.
And let's see. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Mm-hmm is awesome.
I mean, classic.
Yeah.
yeah.
so weird.
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to
I've
think
seen a lot of
people
stuff on there, too. I think, and the biggest thing is I've noticed, and so going back to the virality, you know, of your work and stuff, and people just posting it. Have you have you made it a point to like comment and say, "Hey, I made this," you know? You know, this is my work or something like that. Because I know, like, for example, the Boss Town Dynamics one with from Corridor Digital, they made it a real big point to, hey, people, stop stealing our stuff, or at least give us, you know, give us some credit for it. Yeah,
totally. You know? No, totally.
And I tend to do that with Beeple's stuff. Anytime I see Beeple's stuff posted, I always say, hey, this is the artist, blah, blah, blah. I've noticed more and more people giving credit where credit is due in the comments, you know?
Yeah, that's really sweet. And I get a decent amount of that too, where it's like, I'll be tagged in a lot of stuff just in the comments. And it's like, and that feels really good. I mean, it's nice to like, you know, that people are kind of looking out for you a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like a buddy of mine, just like, he was the one who told me that my, the Obi-Wan animation was on Reddit. Yeah. And I was like, I posted it there yesterday. Dang it. Yeah. And then like, but then I saw like he and a couple other people, like, you know, they'd commented on there, and I'll leave a thing. I'll just be like, hey, this is me. You can follow me here. Mm-hmm. Please include my watermark next time. but I have actually taken down a few on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Cause they'll just post it, especially cause like sometimes they monetize it and it's like, don't do that. Like, that's simple. That's so, I've put out a few copyright strikes on some of the Thomas stuff. I mean, I feel a little weird about that because it's already kind of a copyrighted thing, but
it's satirical.
It's in fair use. So it's satirical. I feel like it's satirical. Like it's pretty fairly within fair use, but at any rate, I've seen a lot of that stuff just be posted around, you know, or taken from TikTok and putting, have someone else's name on it. And it's like, that's pretty uncool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've definitely done that a few times, and
That's something actually, I would encourage everyone to do. If you're on Reddit, you see someone's work that you know, if you're on Reddit or TikTok or, you know, any social networking app, and you know who the artist is, go into the comments and see if anyone's given credit where credit's due, you know, because
it's
you
really
know, this is our livelihood, you know, and
exactly.
Tom got some work based off of this, you know, you would want to get work from, you know, you would want to get credit and work from it, you know, so make sure and just look out for each other anyway.
It is really so great. I mean, it's great to see when people do that, and it's I mean, it's, I don't know, please do it.
the most difficult question of all,
most difficult,
is going to be, what is your favorite life hack?
My favorite life hack. Oh man, well, I've just been 3D printing my life hacks all the time now.
I
3D printed a little shelf for my phone to sit while I'm in the shower. I can listen to music.
Nice.
That's funny.
Nice, because they're like 99% waterproof now, right?
Exactly, so. Yeah, it's waterproof. And you know.
I actually will scroll my phone in the shower sometimes if I'm just going to like take a long shower.
I'm so hesitant about, but your shower is like, a long shower for you is 2.5 minutes. Right. Dave is the fastest shower I've ever met in my life. Like literally 30-second shower, he's in and out.
In and out, man. Just get down to business right away. Right. There's no standing around. Got stuff to do.
Business.
But when I take a long shower, it's a long shower. So I bring my phone.
That's funny. Man, I'm so hesitant. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah. All right. What else have you 3D printed?
Listen to music.
What else?
Yeah.
I mean, mostly it's just like weird sculptures. Like this, like the Venus de Milo and stress shatter neck.
I like it.
Thank you. You know, just like, I mean, basically like everything back here, you can't really say anything.
Yeah.
It's just, all this stuff is 3D printed stuff. And I mean, you know, just like little, let's see, I made some little feet for my TV because I wanted to fit my soundbar underneath
it.
And it was too short. So I built some little feet that look like, like, you know, this bathtub, like, ornate little claw
feet. Right.
Clawfoot tub.
That's cool.
So I have a clawfoot TV.
That's funny.
To fit my... So, yeah, it's all just, like, stupid bullshit in my apartment, but it's you know, it's a lot of fun.
That's neat, though. Like, you're able to customize your apartment the way you want it, you know? That's
yeah, exactly.
Neat.
Totally.
Man, I want a 3D printer. I'm going to get one for Christmas. I told my wife to get me that. That and a drum set.
Ooh, nah. It's printed drum set,
right?
You just need one.
You're gonna be hating. You're gonna be hating life with that.
Nah,
drum
that drum
set
set's gonna be right back here. You know, that'll be it. And it's not a real one. It's an electronic one. The kid can put on headphones all he wants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Electronic. Yeah, yeah. No okay, way. I'm not getting not a real
bad.
One.
That's not bad. Oh man, cymbals in your office. Right? Yeah, you're trying to like concentrate. Why isn't this render working? Right. make it stop. The bows, they do nothing.
That's funny.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, man.
Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, I'm at Tom Coben on Instagram and Twitter, and my YouTube channel is Tom Coben, and you can see my website, CobenDioxide.com.
Cool.
And,
that's a good name.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys. This has been great.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you at some in real life meetups.
IRL. Yep,
here in the next
once
year.
Once we can travel again, yep. That'd be great.
Sure, I sure hope so. That'd be a lot of fun. You can rate us on iTunes. You can leave a review on your podcatcher app thingy of choice. Let us know what you think about the show. Let other people know what you think about the show. So helps get our ratings up. You can subscribe to our newsletter as well. Don't forget to do that. Make sure you subscribe to our social media channels. Ring that bell and stuff.
It's me ringing the bell. There you go.
I got a little muffle. Yeah. My headphone cable's hitting it. Let's see. I need more resonance.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
It's the sound of people ringing the bell.
Right?
Sounds good. Yeah. Every time the bell rings, you
subscribe. You will get a notification every time we go live.
Broadcast.
Yeah. Someone has just smashed that like button.
Yeah. Smash it. And then the newsletter, it goes out once a month, approximately. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little longer, depending on... I'd like to put some IBC information in there as well. So that should go out pretty soon. You can say you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt with the MoGraph logo tee, the Paul Babb Feel the Babb 2020 shirt. All the profits from that go to Doctors Without Borders. The Render Things t-shirt, hoodie, and long sleeve tee. I know.
2 months.
I know. We're gonna
update it, yeah. It's either going to be...
Or we could just say
if he doesn't win... Which I don't know. I'm feeling pretty strong about Paul Babb, you know, this year.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win, we should either do Babb Rabinowitz 2024 or Babb Omotola 2024.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know.
Nice. And is that it? Oh, and of course, that Render is Fire shirt, yes. Which you're only allowed to wear, ironically.
Unless you're Shams.
Unless you're Shams. Yeah. Fire. Yeah, go catch her presentation from last week.
Yeah, it's good.
And Julia's.
Oh, and I don't know if we mentioned it, but Shams, she just released a marvelous pack, right? This should have been this should have been in links, because this is really good. She just released...
Yeah, send it to me. I'll put it in
she
links.
She just released a pack of marvelous designer stuff. Shams, I need to look it up.
Well, just look it up and send it to me.
So anyway, I believe it's completely free, which is cool. You know, just a couple of.
You mean fire?
Well,
that's
free,
fire,
but it is also fire. Yes. Anyway,
it's fire. Yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks again, Tom. We're gonna get out of here.
Yep.
Until next time, I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
And I'm Tom.
Have a good one.
Later, yo.
Thanks, everybody.
Pretty good, I guess. MoGraph.com, an online resource for motion graphic artists. Start your week with the MoGraph podcast. Industry news, interviews with your favorite artists, and terrible humor. Watch live shows and interviews from MoGraph events like NAB, SIGGRAPH, HalfRes, and local meetups. Our MoGraph talks feature live demos and motivation from artists all around the world.
Sometimes you gotta make stuff that you're not gonna put on your reel, and I'm not here to judge.
What if Rick and Morty show up for the countdown at midnight? That's where I peaked in life, in my career.
We gotta stop this thing, Rick! It's gonna kill us all!
Hear from the people that create your software, design your render engines, and artists that are changing the face of modern motion graphics.
You get that render done. Yeah, you better frame what? MoGraph tutorials and online classes will teach you about Cinema 4D, After Effects, as well as other popular software and render engines.
Throw in HDR Studio, take the render settings, pick the HDR, put in a reflection, and gorgeous!
Branch into new software. Learn time-saving tips, techniques, workflows, and lessons that'll keep you up to date in the world of motion design.
Oh, brother, those are some of my favorite elves.
I love projects that scare me. When our art director comes to us and asks for something that I had never done before, man, it gets me pumped.
Join the conversation in our live sessions, check out our plugins, or join the hundreds of daily active users in our Slack channel for technical help, advice, contests, or just to joke around.
Real nice banana.
Yeah, that's so funny. All right. I'm going to live forever.
Subscribe today and get the latest updates on our YouTube and other social media channels.
Take all your dreams and just do it.
We don't care how you get here, folks. Just get here.
Subscribe to MoGraph.com.